It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwin. In honor of the Earth Day season, we turn to one of the most environmentally conscious members of President Obama's White House senior team, science advisor John Holdren. As America's top scientist, Holdren has been instrumental in marshaling federal resources to understand and address climate disruption and helping to establish a climate assessment program. I asked him about President Obama's climate action plan, which he helped to develop.
Well, there are three components to the president's climate action plan. The first one is reducing carbon pollution in the United States. The second component is improving preparedness for and resilience against the kinds of climate changes that we're no longer able to avoid. That is, providing the kinds of information to communities, to businesses, to individuals that will enable them better prepare for and respond to climate change. The third component of the action plan is to increase our engagement with other countries in order to get their collaboration in a global approach to reducing greenhouse gas emissions, as well as a global approach to increasing preparedness.
Well, let's talk about sea level. The National Climate Assessment Draft Report talks of a range of 8 inches to 6 feet, I think, is the biggest range the report gives of sea level rise over the next century. And, of course, some of our biggest cities are on the coast, New York, Boston, Miami, New Orleans. What should those cities be doing now to prepare for a rising sea, and how can the federal government help?
Well, rising sea level is a problem for a number of reasons, and one in particular is the extra damage done by storm surges on top of a rising sea level. We saw that already in the case of Sandy. The ways that we can prepare, number one, we need to understand where the vulnerability is going to be in terms of the potential for coastal flooding. We launched the first installment of our climate data initiative just a few weeks ago, basically providing data sets for decision makers all around our coasts to know what's coming. One of the things that we would expect is that planners and developers would take note and would not construct new housing or new commercial space or other infrastructure in the areas that are most at risk of coastal flooding. Another thing we can do is invest in the protection of natural barriers, sand dunes, mangroves, wetlands of a variety of kinds that help protect against storm surges when they occur.
The National Climate Assessment also talks about thresholds, tipping points, and surprises. What might be some examples? I know recently you issued a report about methane.
Well, one of the concerns about methane, which is a very potent greenhouse gas, is that large quantities of methane are stored under the tundra, under permafrost, and large quantities of methane are stored in a form called methane clathrates or methane hydrates under shallow coastal seas. And there has been a concern that in a warming world, a very substantial quantity of methane might be released relatively rapidly. It's one of many tipping points that are looked at in terms of the potential for unpleasant surprises. Another tipping point would be if the warming of the southern oceans and other aspects of global climate change were to destabilize the West Antarctic ice sheet. That ice sheet contains the equivalent of about 5 meters of sea level rise. And so another tipping point that is at least talked about is the possibility that we could destabilize that ice sheet and encounter a much larger rate of sea level rise than is currently projected.
So 2015 is going to be an important year for climate talks. The international community gets together in Paris. A new agreement will have to be adopted by all parties. As the president's science advisor, what kind of preparations are you making for these negotiations?
Well, we're obviously having a lot of conversations among the president's senior advisors in the White House and bringing in the relevant members of the cabinet. All of these folks are sitting around tables and working out what the United States position should be going into the Paris talks. And of course, we're working very hard to make sure that the United States stays on track to meet the goal the president already announced of reducing U.S. greenhouse gas emissions by 17% from their 2005 levels by 2020. Because after all, we're going to be talking about targets going forward after the year 2020, and we better demonstrate that we can meet the early term targets in order to have the credibility to propose and push forward longer term and more ambitious targets.
What would the agreement coming out of Paris have to look like to avert the worst effects of climate change, in your opinion?
the world really needs to be on a declining trajectory of greenhouse gas emissions after 2025. If greenhouse gas emissions are still growing post-2025, it is very unlikely that the world would be able to avoid exceeding the target of 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels that was agreed by the G20 in 2009. And indeed, if we're still growing after 2025, it will be a challenge even to stop at 3 degrees Celsius. Those numbers may sound small, but it's important to remember that the Earth's average surface temperature is a little bit like the temperature of the body. It's really an index of the state of the underlying system. If your body temperature went up 3 degrees C, you'd know that you were having a serious problem. And similarly, the world, in terms of its whole climate system, will be having a serious problem if we go to 3 degrees C or more.
Now, the White House recently announced that it will again delay a decision on the Keystone XL pipeline, which would bring the tar sands oil from Canada through the U.S. to Gulf Coast refineries. This on the basis of litigation over the proposed route. What's your opinion of the Keystone project? How does it fit into our need to reduce emissions?
As the president's science advisor, I reserve my opinion on controversial matters of that sort for the president.
As the president's science advisor, what concerns you most about our ecological systems? What keeps you up at night?
Well, I would say the thing that keeps me up at night the most is the climate change issue. And the reason for that is that climate is the envelope within which all other environmental conditions and processes have to function. And if we distort that envelope enough, as we are well on our way to doing, we imperil the functioning of all the other environmental conditions and processes on which human well-being depends. We're going to change the distribution and abundance of species, both the ones we love and the ones we hate. We're going to change the productivity of ecosystems. We're going to change the chemistry of the ocean in ways that could imperil ocean fish production. So almost no matter what environmental problem you're interested in, you better be interested in addressing the climate change challenge. And that's why it has such high priority in the Obama administration.
John Holdren is assistant to President Barack Obama and director of the Office of Science and Technology Policy at the White House. Thanks so much for taking the time today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Steve.